Our scripture this morning will be found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
One more try.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy
Sabbath. There, you sound unified. Well, it's good to be here again on a beautiful Sabbath day. So good to see everybody. And if you remember, a little ways back, granted, as we talked about some time ago, trying to do a series on the secrets of peace, or how to find peace and happiness in your life. And we have had some interruptions and some weeks along, so just a short reminder that our key text for the entire series is Luke 9:23. Where it says, and he, this is Jesus, said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That sound familiar? You're with me. So that's what we're looking at on the cross. We found out that the cross, what it meant for was, as we lift the cross, remember we read in Testimonies Volume 8, page 45, where she said, as we lift the cross, it lifts us. And so we started to understand a little bit more of what lifting the cross means to let self die. And we saw that the cross is for dying. It's not something for carrying, like a burden. It's a symbol of dying to self. Then we thought, well, why do we need to die to self? And if you remember, we went into finding out why it's necessary and found out really the root of it is because in our carnal nature, as we are born and as we live in this world, it's because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. So we have this condition through which Jesus wants to come into our hearts and help us to understand to let that self aside so that he can dwell within us and will give us peace and happiness. So then we said this week we were going to go into number 3 in the series, entitled it, Three Fears. Because if you go along, okay, so we understand what maybe carrying this cross is all about and why we need to do it. Well, there are some things that we might be harboring in our lives or carrying with us that makes it very difficult to follow this instruction that the Lord is giving us on how to surrender self. Have any of you ever wondered, how could Eve fall for that lie back in the garden? I mean, a talking serpent? I mean, that should have set off red flags, right? We might even say, well, how dumb can that be? Everything in the garden, and then here this one, how can that be? And then we think of our lives and go, well, why should I have to suffer because of what Adam and Eve did, their choices? Well, friends, we aren't suffering just because of their choices, but because of our own choices, too. I want to quote Matthew 11:28-30. We have a beautiful promise. You'll recognize it, maybe by the text, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are, what? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Beautiful promise, isn't it? Desire of Ages, page 331. She says, those who take Christ at his word and surrender their souls to his keeping, their lives to his ordering, will find peace and quietude. Nothing of the world can make them sad when Jesus makes them glad by his presence. In perfect acquiescence, there is perfect rest. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'd like to ask a show of hands. How many here used the word acquiescence in the last week? Yeah, me either. So I had to look up. Acquiescence means to yield or to agree with apart from protest. Interesting. So when we yield perfectly to the Lord's will for our lives without protest or complaints, we will find perfect peace. Nothing in this world is able to disturb it. This, my friends, is the sure result of this surrender we've been talking about. We suffer so much heartache and so much pain because we choose not to surrender ourselves and all of our desires to the Lord. We know God promises us peace if we come to Him in humble submissiveness. So why is it we don't do it? Again, Desire of Ages, page 330. But many who profess to be His followers, catch that. That's all of us, right? We follow Jesus. We've given our hearts to the Lord. We're Christian. Again, but many who profess to be His followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they're afraid to trust God. And unless they do make this surrender, they cannot find peace. Close quote. Again, Desire of Ages, 330. So friends, we do not make the choice to surrender because at the root, the foundation, the depth of our hearts, we're afraid to trust God. This is exactly why Adam and Eve chose not to surrender. Because they too were afraid to really trust what God had said and to live by that. So I think, well then, but why are we afraid to trust God? Is there any good reason? No. There is no good reason. But there is a reason. And it's the same reason that Eve was afraid to trust Him. Because the simple reason is that we, like Eve, too often believe and buy into the lies that Satan tells instead of believing what God says about Himself and His Word. Basically, Satan says that if you surrender to God's authority, you will miss out on a better and happier existence. You know, I want to do this. It looks like more fun. Or you will not be in control of your own life. Why should I follow Him? You know, I want to do this. Or it might limit my personal growth. Maybe what God wants us to do doesn't fit what we think we ought to do. And these lies make us afraid to trust God, and this makes our surrender impossible, and we struggle, and we fail, and we say we will, and we don't, and it continues. So whenever we find ourselves struggling with the surrender to God's will, whenever we find it hard to obey His word, it's because one or more of these fears is the focus of either our conscious or even our subconscious, because we have that carnal nature. And instead of gritting our teeth and trying hard to do what's right, we first need to deal with the lies that make us afraid. To remove that clears the way for God's power. And I've not always understood this. And this lack of understanding caused me to struggle with my daily lift many times, many times. And 1 John 4:18 that we read this morning, well, we can go back to it. He says, there is no fear in what? Love. But perfect love casteth out fear. And this tells us that before we can follow the Lord to perfection, and we must do that, amen? Yeah? We need to have that character. We need to develop that and to be ready before Jesus comes. It doesn't happen at the moment He's there. So we need to find that way and that power to get to that perfection in the Lord. And we must then cast out the fears that torment us so He can continue to do what we need in our lives and we can follow Him and we will find that peace. 1 John 4:18 also lets us know that it's perfect love that casts out fear. So of course this text cannot be speaking about our perfect love, right? No, it's God's perfect love for us that is referred to here. And there's key thoughts here, in fact, on the handout at the bottom. I went ahead and gave it all to you. It says, as our faith grasps the truths of God's word, we begin to understand how perfectly God loves us. This understanding then begins to generate a love within us for Him. And the more we learn of God's perfect love for us, through the study of His word and much prayer, the more we come to love and trust Him. And the more we love and trust God, then the less fearful we are of surrendering to His control. And the more we surrender to God's control, the more like Him or the more perfect we become. This is how we are made perfect in love. Quote, "Christian workers who succeed in their efforts must know Christ. And in order to know Him, they must know His love." Notice she didn't say know about. We must know. We must have the experiential relationship. Continuing. "If they must know His love, and this redeeming power then filling the heart would control every other motive and raise its possessors above the corrupting influences of the world." There's your victory. "And as this love was allowed full sway and became the motive power in their life, their trust and confidence in God and His dealing with them would be complete." Close quote. Acts of the Apostles, page 551 and 52. So I'd like to take a few moments today and let's look at three major factors that keep us from surrendering and applying God's word to each one of these and hopefully expose Satan's lies so we can get to the foundation of why we have such a struggle. Because if that lie has been making you fearful about taking up your cross daily, of surrendering self moment by moment, and following Jesus, then you'll be set free from the paralyzing grip as you choose to believe God's word instead of Satan's lies. So, on your handout, number one is the fear of missing out. We have a fear of missing out on a better and happier life. Fear of missing out on a better and happier life. In essence, this fear is based on the belief that we will not be happy with what God wants for us and with us and in us. The fear that we will not be better off and happier fully following God's will has a bunch of related fears to it. You might think of several, like a fear of failure. I can't do that. No way God can do that in me. Or the fear of loss. Well, if I follow Him, I have to give up this or that, or I can't do that. Or the fear of rejection. If I do that, you know, this peer pressure thing that's around us, that Satan likes to keep going. And there's many others, all of which can make us afraid to surrender our lives fully to Him. And whenever we are struggling with this surrender, this number one fear is primarily in it one way or another. Now, there are times when God's will is so radically opposed to all that seems right in our natural senses that surrendering self seems almost impossible. An outrageous thing to do. And at times, every natural impulse in us recoils from lifting that cross of surrender, letting self die and following God, no matter how we feel. We're convinced deep inside us that if we did what God requires of us, you know, we would be absolutely miserable. Satan stirs that up. And there are times in our life, isn't there, when surrender to God seems to be the hardest thing in the world to do. It's a struggle. But if we are to enter into God's rest, we all must surrender all. Anything short of this is walking in the flesh. And we can't please God if we're walking in the flesh. Even if we're doing plenty of good things. The only way to finding true peace within ourselves and pleasing God is to allow God's love to cast out your fear. So if you become convinced, consciously or subconsciously, that a complete surrender to the Lord, to allow Him control in your life, would keep you from happiness, it could be that you're dealing with this fear. But friends, I want you to know that Jesus loves you vastly more than you love yourself. Far more. So don't be afraid to trust Him completely. He will never do anything that isn't for your best. Don't be afraid to trust him with absolutely everything. And that means moment by moment, throughout your day. He means it when he says that he has come to give us abundant life. Even right now. Praise God. We heard some in praise and prayer. We had abundant life. My brother here is $400 richer because he got some grace this morning. We have gardens. We have some, we're blessed. I mean, God loves us. He gives us abundant life. We have so much to be joyful about. Whenever I find myself struggling, yes, with my daily life, my surrender, I have to tell myself the truth and remind myself that the only way to a better and happier life is the way of the cross, of surrendering the will 100% to Jesus. And I need to remind myself, I have the same battle you do. And it brings me then to fear number two. Fear number two is the fear of losing control over our lives. Losing control over our lives. That fear is based on the lie that if we give total control to the Lord, well, we're losing control over ourselves. We worry we'll have no minds, you know, no wills if God's taken over. And this is why some Christians fight with giving God total control. We're control freaks, aren't we? People are afraid that this will kill the free will that God has given us and reduce us to some kind of spiritual robot. But nothing could be further from the truth. We're looking at it from the wrong side. Because this is just a different version of the same lie that Satan told Eve. But Jesus told us the truth when he said, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 10:39. You know, I'll be honest, I used to struggle with that. "He who loses his life for my sake shall find it." You know, a martyr or something, you know, you think about. But then the first part doesn't fit. If you find your life, you lose it, you know. But I'm starting to understand this a little deeper. Because according to Satan's lie, to find our lives is to choose to be in control instead of surrendering the control to the Lord. The truth is, when we run our own lives, we lose the very thing we're seeking. And we struggle to find peace and happiness and joy. Just like Eve. It's only when we choose to surrender, and it is a choice, when we choose to surrender that control to God, that we find what we desire, even though we didn't seek it. It's a God thing. Because God made us. He has given us all the desires that we have. Satan perverts them. But he has created us, and he alone can satisfy them. He has given us all the desires, and he's promised to do as long as we are surrendered into his control to meet our desires. God's word says in Psalm 37, if you'd like to turn to Psalm 37, Psalm 37, verse 4, has come to mean a little more to me lately. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Isn't that beautiful? Delight. Okay, so that sent me digging into Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible. And I found the Hebrew word there that's translated delight is anag. I said that right? Anag. It's A-N-A-G. And it means being delicate or soft or pliable, thus denoting submissiveness. The psalmist is saying here that if we are soft and pliable in the Lord's hands, allowing him to mold and shape us according to his will, he will give us the very things our hearts desire. This is what it means to delight yourself in the Lord. And you can do this because you believe His way will satisfy your desires far better than anything you could ever think up or conjure. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to His power that works in us." So the only way to get control over our lives that we truly desire is to stop seeking it and start surrendering more fully to the Lord, who created you, who knows you better than you do, who loves you more than you do. And when we do this, the Lord will begin to restore us to the status we had when He created us. The fact that God can take sinful, fallen humans and restore them to the original state, which is in His image, reveals to the universe God's wisdom, His glory, His majesty, His dominion, and His power. This is the high and holy calling of everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus. This is the mystery that will be finished in His people before He comes. And it's a privilege of the church to reflect God's image fully to the universe. And it starts right here, right now, moment by moment in each one of us. You know, there was a time in my life when I couldn't see how God, through Jesus, could ever keep me from sinning. I tried to get victory over certain sins in my life, but I keep failing and failing. Even when I was coming back to Him and wanted help, it seemed like I just always kept failing, no matter what. And I just about had given up, and I felt the Lord can't do it in me. But little by little, the Lord delivered me from Satan's lies by showing me the depth of what it means to lift your cross daily. It's key to a Christian's life. And then I just started to begin to understand, and I'm still just beginning to understand, that Jesus could keep me, even me, from sinning. Then I began to see a life victorious is possible. What a joy. I discovered that the same power that kept Jesus from sinning is able to keep me from sinning. And He can you too. As we surrender our total control of our life to Him, and He wants to do it for each one of us. Isn't God lovely? Isn't He wonderful? I found out that if I just keep giving Jesus control, He gives me strength to be in control. Quote, "The greatest triumph," oh, that's a big statement, "the greatest triumph given us by the religion of Christ is control over ourselves." Close quote. Testimonies, volume 4, 235. Testimonies 4, 235. "The greatest triumph given us by the religion of Christ is control over ourselves." So instead of losing control, through giving a total control to Jesus, I gain control over my life by His power. And since I began to learn a little more about the true meaning of the cross and lifting it daily, the Lord has given me more and more victory in my life. Hey, now don't get me wrong, don't misunderstand, I'm far from perfect. Yeah, I am. God is still working in my life. And He wants to do the same in your life too. Will you let Him? Will you really let Him? It's your choice. Okay, let's get to the third fear. The third one is the fear of losing ourself. We fear losing ourself. You know, today we hear so much talk about self-actualization, the development of self, self-help. I mean, how many self-help books are there? To the point that self has been elevated as God. There's even a magazine called Self. Did you know that? This concept of sin, of right and wrong, is outdated. The world's tossed it aside. What reigns today is only what's right or wrong for an individual. They'll decide. God's law is no longer a standard. What determines that which is right for one's emotional and physical well-being is whatever happens to be best perceived by that individual, thus making self the ultimate authority. Friends, that breaks the number one commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He knew what that meant. Putting self before God is probably the most frequently broken commandment there is. I don't know. It's just at the heart and the root of society today. And being sinful by nature, we have this natural desire to exalt self to the status of God. We try to fix ourselves. We want to run our own lives according to what we think is right. This is what makes the daily surrender so necessary. But it's also what makes it a very scary thing. The thought of it can send you chills down your spine, because we all have dreams and aspirations that we want to reach, right? We have goals, and we hear the cross daily. Jesus is calling us, saying, you must relinquish control of all those cherished dreams, all of your goals, and surrender to my will and my timetable for your life. And his call can make us afraid. We'll never reach our own desires or live out our dreams. I mean, we've been brought up with the idea, self is made king. How's that little saying go about how with a baby, you spend the first 3 years making it the center of your universe and the rest of their life convincing them they're not? Yeah. We're brought up focused on self. Another quote. This is Ministry of Healing, 479. She says, Christ in his life on earth. Let me sidestep a second. Who is our example? Christ, Jesus. He is our example in all things. She says, Christ in his life on earth made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him, and day by day the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend upon God, that our lives may be the simple outworking of his will. As we commit our ways to him, he will direct our steps. Too many, in planning for a brilliant future, make an utter failure. Let God plan for you. God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led if they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purpose for which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him. Close quote. Remember, friends, God made you in his image. That's a whole lot more than the head on top and two arms and two legs and a torso. No. It's much, much deeper. And the goal he has set for you, each individual, is higher than any of them that you can set for yourself. Vastly higher. Do not settle for your low standard. I'm sorry. Don't settle for your low dreams. Tie into God's ideal for your life. He will take you higher than your human thoughts can reach. He wants to take you into eternity. He wants to give you a happy, abundant, peace-filled life here. You'll go beyond what you perceive as your potential as a human being, because you will be a partaker of the divine. See 2 Peter 1 verse 4, if you'd like, later. Yeah.
We are partakers of divinity. We can.
And you will find that he is able to do exceeding abundantly more than you can ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Don't settle for your low ideas. Put all of your life, all of your plans, all of your goals before God and move forward in faith and let him open the doors and he will guide your life. So in ending, I have one more quote. And it's Desire of Ages 466. She says, the only condition upon which the freedom of man is possible is that of becoming one with Christ. The truth shall set you free. And Christ is the truth. Subjection to God is restoration to oneself, to the true glory and dignity of man. Close quote. Do you want to be restored? Do you want peace and happiness? Do you want to know the choices you make are the right ones? Surrender it all to God. Be in much prayer. Asking. He is there. He desires. He's waiting for us to ask, to be partakers of his power, to allow him to control and to guide us in ways we don't know. We're mortal, sinful, deceitfully wicked. He has such a higher standard he wants to grow you into now. But we must choose it and follow, for God forces no one. And neither should we. Okay, my friends. So far we've dealt with what the cross is, why it's necessary, and we looked at three, what might be key fears, foundational ideas that might help us against the struggle of our daily surrender. So next, a little later on, we're going to get into a little bit of the how-to, and then we'll close with like a process of the surrendering, how to put it all together. So I pray that God will continue to bless each of us as he reveals himself more and more through his word, as we spend time in his word and much time in prayer and asking him to help us overcome the fears and the lies that we've bought into and have grown up with, so that his will be alone in our hearts. Then we can have that victory, and then you will have a peace and a happiness that goes beyond all understanding. So may God bless us all as we continue to lay aside the world and take on Jesus. Oh, Father, that is the prayer of our hearts. We'd rather have Jesus than anything in this world. But Lord, we are born into this world with carnal hearts, and we need you desperately. Not only to do the work within us, but Father, even to bring to light in our minds the need for you. We praise you for your goodness, how you not only will take that little mustard seed of faith you've given each one and make it grow and grow as we come to deeper and deeper understandings of your word and the great, wonderful life you want us to have here, but especially eternal. Lord, you've created us to have your image. We want your character in your heart. So, Lord, touch each one of us. May your Spirit speak to each one of us. We're all at different places. We're all at different walks. We all have different trials. And we all stumble in different things. Lord, out of your goodness and your mercy and your promises, you will meet us wherever we are and will gently and lovingly and kindly lead us and guide us and empower us to reach that high standard that you created us for. So Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Protect us and guide each one of us, and help us to be kind and loving to one another
as we all are stumbling and growing on our way home. So, Father, may we encourage others. May we find someone else who doesn't know you yet and lead them to the source of happiness and peace. For, Lord, your coming is soon. Do not leave us comfortable. Do whatever needs to be done to prepare us, we ask. We thank you for promising to do it and to provide all the power we need. There's no excuse for failure. In thy most holy, precious, and loving name we pray. God's people say, amen, Lord.